you'll find the scripture, Colossians 1, 13 and 14. I'll read it to you. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. The phrase transferred us is very important today. Into the kingdom of the Son He loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and it's in Him. Let's pray together. Father, help me to be a plain preacher today, so plain that a child would understand me. Help me to be in tune to your Holy Spirit, any word of knowledge you speak to me to give to a person or the situation. If you prompt me with it, I want to be obedient to speak to it. Lord, you will remind me. You look at all of us, but you look at me differently. I'm under a greater and more strict judgment than anybody here on campus today because I'm a teacher of your word and I accept my place in rightly dividing it. It's in the name of Jesus that I pray, His name that I preach. Amen. You see, it's good to see you. Last Sunday, we handled some topics we handled these. He made me to love me. He gives us the right. We don't give ourselves the right. He gives us the right to be His children. We are bought with a price. And the Father, He adopts His enemies to become His sons and His daughters. And today, we're going to be handling three things. We're going to be handling, I am redeemed and forgiven. I have direct access to God in the Lord and who He has made me. He completes me. Last Sunday and this Sunday, we're dealing with acceptance, and we are accepted into the Lord. Let's begin by starting with, I am redeemed and forgiven. Colossians 1, 13 and 14 says that He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. He's rescued us. And He's transferred us, He has redeemed us, and He has forgiven us. There are four acts of the character of God there. He's rescued, He has transferred, He has redeemed, bought us back, and then He has forgiven us of our sins. All this is found in and through Him. When we deal with who I am and ask the question, who am I? As Christians, you have got to understand there has been a shift. I am no longer in the world. I'm in it, but it's not me. If you read, you're going to find the world is going to be really strange to me. I'm not talking about the beauty of creation, the leaves turning color in the fall. And I'm not talking about the Grand Canyon or the Smoky Mountains or the beach or... I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about the concepts and the philosophies of the world. They're going to be really, really strange to us. Scripture says that as believers, this world, we feel like an alien and a stranger to it. As a pastor, I'm going to say it as a preacher, but as an act of a pastor, if you're really chummy with the world, it ought to be an alarm to you. You hear me? If you and the world are buddying up, it ought to be an alarm to you. James says that a friend of the world, will you all finish it for me, those who know it? Say, what does it say? A friend of the world is what? An enemy of God. So if the world and its philosophies and concepts are something you wrap yourself in, you clothe yourself in, I mean, it ought to be bells and whistles. Because we become aliens and strangers to this world. So what happens? He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. He rescues us, but then He's transferred us. So I've gone from living in the worldly concepts to living a kingdom life, a kingdom concept, a kingdom philosophy. There's been a switch. I can take this. I feel like when I teach university classes, I can take this right here, transfer us into the kingdom, and I can go to John 3 with it. We're not talking about a physical birth there. We're talking about a spiritual rebirth there. And what happens? I am born again, right? You got to be born again. That's what Jesus said to Nicodemus. And Jesus, you go back in the womb of my mom? No, not a physical birth, a spiritual birth. What happens here is my soul has been reconnected. He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. My soul has been reconnected to the one who gave it to me. I'm no longer an enemy of his. I've become his sons and his daughters. We have. And then it's a kingdom life. What happens in this switch of being born again is also transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, is the picture of I've got a soul perspective now. My flesh is going to have an earthly perspective. What's my time limit on earth? My soul doesn't care, because my soul is looking toward eternity. I am going to spend a very small fraction of my life here. But some of us in this room have all our eggs in this basket. I'm only here for a little while. Only here for Scripture over and over, different writers. Life is a vapor. Life is a mist. Life is a shadow. Life is a flower that stands up in the beauty of the sun, and then it wilts under the heat of the sun. It's just only for a little while. So when I'm born again, I'm transferred into kingdom life. I'm transferred into leaving a life that is worldly and its concepts and all those kind of things. I mean, today's Sanctity of Human Life Day. You're going to hear about that in a moment. But we're going to leave you here with ways to pray and ways to be able to serve that. And my goodness, folks, I think I love the critter world. Do you know what I'm saying? I do. But my point in that is we can spend so much attention craving critters, and I'm for the conservation of critters, obviously, but then just absolutely neglect the life of a child. That's a worldly concept. And you're going, preacher, you're getting into politics. I am not. I'm getting into a worldly concept versus a kingdom belief. And there'll be some things that happen when he rescues you. Look what he rescues you from. You've left darkness. You've been transferred, born again, moved into a kingdom life, a soul perspective. And in that becomes a whole different way of you. Like, we can bring up topics just in casual conversations, me and you. And you could go, well, what's wrong with this? And I may just go, boomity, 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 boom. You know, well, you need to do that. You're the preacher. No, it has nothing to do with being a preacher. I'm going to answer it from a kingdom perspective. And if I've got a soul view, I may have a completely different angle into that topic than you do. And you're going to go, well, you're the preacher. You've been to school. There's academia there. No. He's I no longer think in a domain of darkness anymore. I think as a person who's been transferred into a kingdom. Man, I could preach the dickens out of this verse today. You see that? I want you to see it. He has moved me. He's rescued me. He's transferred me. He's redeemed me. He's forgiven me. Four acts of him right there, absolutely right there. And the point that I want you to get and to understand is we've moved into a kingdom life. We've moved, and when we move into kingdom life, we have a view of the world and living. It comes from a soul perspective more than anything else. Let me show you, let me bring this into it. I am redeemed and forgiven. Matthew 6:33. I've got to go back over here. Gosh, I feel like I'm going to give you a test at the end of this. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be provided for you. And a lot of people just want to take out the kingdom of God and his righteousness and go, God's going to give me everything that I need. Let me tell you what God has promised to supply. He has not promised to supply a sinful life. Do you hear me? He has not made that promise. He does not tempt you with sin. He'll never tempt you with sin. He hates sin. He hates it. Why? Because it separates you from him. We handle that in sermon number one of this series. He hates it. He doesn't like anything about it at all. And what he promises in this verse to supply is what kind of a life? A kingdom life. Seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be provided for you. He's going to provide for a kingdom-based life. He's not going to provide for a sinful life. You all with me? You're going to say, well, I'm born, I'm here, the Lord's going to give me everything that I need. That's what he says about a kingdom life. And when we look at a kingdom life, we've got to understand he supplies that. Then the question comes to you and to me is, am I living a kingdom life? Am I living under the principles that the Lord has designed for me to live, the kingdom principles that he's designed for me to live? And let me show you a test in this. This is an absolute test of a kingdom life, okay? I don't think there's anything before this one. I think this is the number one look and the number one investigation into our lives if we are living a kingdom life. Look at Colossians 1:18. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. The key to a kingdom life is that he's first in everything. We're going to talk about prayer here in a moment. You know why some of us don't like to pray? Because to pray means we have to surrender our control. How do you not pray and say, your will be done and not mine? How do you do that? And man, don't you know, when we get to that part, I mean, just to have access to him and to communicate with him in prayer, just commune with the Father. When we commune with him, it's sometimes we balk at praying because we will have to surrender to his will. And that, don't tell me the power and control stuff's not thick in here. You know what I'm saying? You have to surrender that. If I'm going to him, because he's not going to say, well, Jeff, what do you think about it? He's never asked me that. He's never asked me that. And you know what? He never will. Prayer is a way of just surrendering our life to him. It becomes a very difficult thing for us to do. I'm not talking about a moment of quietness. I'm talking about going to him with needs and prayer and request and supplication and letting my heart sing no matter what's in it. If there's junky stuff in my heart or if there's praise in my heart, I'm just letting him have what's in my heart. I'm not talking about a quiet time. I'm not talking about reading the bumper sticker about Jesus and you nodding your head in agreement. I'm talking about you leaving this world behind, spending time with him, and communing with him. It takes surrender to do that. That's one reason we don't like it. We'll balk at it. It's because it means I have to surrender before him. The whole key of everything in the kingdom life, so that he may come to have first place in every area of my life. Every single area of my life. He doesn't have second place. He doesn't have 10th place. He's not your top five. If he's not first, will you finish it for me? Where's the preacher going with this? If he's not first, he's not anything. Either for me or you either drink from the cup of the Lord or you drink from the cup of the enemy. You're either hot or cold. Lukewarm makes him sick. You just got to see. He's transferred me over into a kingdom life. And in a kingdom life, the ultimate test is that he is first in all things of my life. 1 Peter 1:18-19. For you know that you were redeemed, bought back, we handled that last Sunday and today, from your empty way of life. You inherited from the fathers. He didn't buy you back with perishable things like silver or gold, but with the precious blood of Christ, like that of a lamb without defect or without blemish. He has bought us. He's rescued us. He's rescued us from the domain of darkness. And you need to understand that the Lord wants to separate you from darkness just like Satan wants to separate you from light. He definitely has that in his plan for you. Titus chapter 2, verses 11 through 14. He says that we are his special people. I want to get into Barney and, you know, I love you, you love me. For the grace of God has appeared with salvation for all people. You see that? With salvation for all people, instructing us to deny godlessness. If you sense godlessness, walk away from it. And worldly lust, all that is worldly concepts, worldly thinking, and to live in a sensible, righteous, and godly way in this present age. While we wait for the blessed hope and the appearing of God, of our great God and Savior Christ Jesus Christ, he gave himself for us to buy us back. I am redeemed, I am forgiven, that's what we're on. To buy us back, to redeem us from all lawlessness, and to cleanse for himself a special people, eager to do good works in his good works. He really wants to absolutely designate us as his people. We are a royal priesthood. We are peculiar. If you're around me much, I'm a weird dude, and I like it. I'm weird. Having a soul perspective in a world that has a flesh perspective makes me weird. I like it. I like that perspective. In the special people here is a reference to the church. And again, I told you, for those of us who are in this place, we've been transferred into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. This world is strange. I feel like an alien. It doesn't feel like my home at all. We are citizens of a greater place and a greater city, and it feels weird and strange to me. It's supposed to. Don't be freaking out over that. If you are a believer and you have been transferred into the kingdom of the Son that he loves, this world will never make sense to you. And it should never make sense to you. So in Ephesians 5, verse 8, you're going to get a lot of scripture today, by the way. I sent all this to Logan, who sends it up to the guys in the loft. And he's like, I said, we're just going to read the whole Bible today, you know. So for you were once darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light. Satan wants to separate you from the light into darkness. The Lord wants to separate you from the darkness into the light. And when it talks about I am redeemed and forgiven, I have the freedom. I am forgiven and free. But the freedom to do what? The freedom to do what I want? No. You have the freedom to do what he wills you to do. Love unlovable people, Jesus says. Don't love people that love you. That's easy. Love the people that don't. Love the people that don't love you, don't care about, persecute you, plot against you, plan for your demise. He said, be able to handle those. And when we were talking earlier in a verse, and it talked about how we are bought with the blood of Christ, you need to understand something here. I'm going to make this as simple as I can. He bled real blood, but that real blood had a spiritual connection, because that real blood covered all of our sins. I mean, it's kind of like the Wicked Witch in the Wizard of Oz when she has the water thrown on her. I'm melting, you know, I'm melting. So when the blood of Christ covers up all that sin, It just dissolves it. So there is this beautiful blood transfusion that happened at the cross. His physical bleeding of blood covered all of our sins. absolutely covered all, got rid of them, because there had to be a penalty for sin. God does not go, okay, I'm going to let it go. There is always a penalty for sin. Tell me you haven't paid the penalties for your sins. There's consequences to sins. And sometimes other people pay the consequence for your sins. But there's always a consequence for sin. Always. And so His blood absolutely got rid of all my sins, all of our sins. But it's a blood transfusion. His blood also gave me life to come alive in the kingdom. I was dead before Christ, though I was biologically living. But when I came to Christ, I came alive. I've been transferred over into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. Next one, I have direct access to God. We connect with Him. Ephesians 2, 17 and 18. When Christ came, He proclaimed the good news of peace to you who were far away. That's great. But He also gave peace to those who were near. So whether you were far away or near, His message was a gospel of peace. For through Him, we both have access by one Spirit to the Father. We absolutely can go to the Father. I can get real Old Testament here, but He's become our high priest. I can go absolutely to Him. I've known some preachers, and I've warned them. They said, well, God tells me, if I'm talking to a person, God tells me, and I need to tell them. I go, listen, you have direct access. There is absolutely direct access to you and the Father. You can go to Him. That's why our invitation song through all of this series is Run to the Father. Spend time with Him. God has made a way for you to have direct access to Him. Again, I believe in my pastoring world, the reason we don't want to run to Him is because we've got to surrender our will. It becomes a power and a self-control issue. I'm not talking about being quiet for a moment. I'm talking about you asking the Lord to search you of any wrongful thing in your life. And you're saying, well, that's a crazy request. It's a cry of the psalmist all the time. Search me, O God. Search the depths of me, O God. Because I want to be right before you. You are the first thing in my life, and I always want to be able to keep it that. We're blessed with incredible access to the Father, but we run from it because of our power and control situation. When we give an invitation, you're going to hear this all 2020 and below, and further on. Come to me, confess to me, call to me, and cast to me. It's His invitation. Come to me, weary, heavy laden. I'll give you rest for your souls. I'm humble. I'm gentle in heart. Confess to me. And the blood of Christ covers a multitude of sins. He's willing to forgive, cleanse you from all unrighteousness. To call to Him in prayer, call to me and I'll answer you. Call to me, he who calls on the name of the Lord shall be saved. Cast to me all your anxieties. I understand. I can believe in chemical imbalance. I get it, but I just need to tell you, sometimes the remedy is for you to cast what you have to Him. Bring it to Him. He does ask us to do that in the kingdom. Cast it to Him. What are your concerns and your anxieties and your worries? I go back to a simple verse you've seen before, John 14, 6, and you know this. And He's telling the disciples before He goes to die, He's, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me. He has rescued us. He has transferred us into the kingdom of the Son that He loves. He's redeemed us and He's forgiven us. All that is through Him. You go to the Father through Him. Look, I have direct access to God. Look at Ephesians 3:12. I'm to go there with great confidence. We have boldness, access, and confidence in Him through faith in Him. I go to Him with confidence of His love and His faithfulness toward me. Look at Hebrews 10, 22 and 23. Let us draw near to Him with a true heart and full assurance of faith, our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience, and our bodies washed in pure water. Let us hold on to the confession of our hope without wavering, for he who promised is faithful. Draw near to him. Come near to him. I'm certain our busyness is pulling us away from him. But you need to know, who am I? As a believer in your identity in Christ, you have direct access to the Father himself. Lastly, I am complete. I am complete in the Lord. I'm complete in Jesus. Colossians 1, 19 and 20. We've been in Colossians, and we will be a whole lot in this segment. For God was pleased to have all his fullness dwell in Jesus. He was glad for that. And through him to reconcile everything to himself by making peace through the blood. There it is again. Here's this blood transfusion of his cross, whether things on earth or things in heaven, whether it's physical or whether it's spiritual. He's been able to do that. And God is pleased to have his fullness in Jesus. I want you to see that. Now, I'm going to get excited about this, okay? This next one makes me jump. Did you see how high I jumped so fast y'all didn't even see it, did you? Colossians 2, 9, and 10. Now, we just handled that the fullness of God was moved into the person of Jesus, right? Look at this. For the entire fullness of God's nature dwells bodily in Christ, and now you have been filled by him. The picture. The fullness of God is encompassed into the person of Jesus. And when I was born again, he rescued me from a domain of darkness. He transferred me into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. And when that happened, the fullness of God is in the person of Jesus, and the person of Jesus is now filled in me. It's been filled in me. You don't get excited about that? Are y'all just a bunch of Baptists, or what are y'all? I mean, I'm excited about that. Do you not see that? It's no longer Jeff leading. It's God complete in the Son, and the Son is fully indwelling in me, who is the head over every ruler and authority. Please understand, the Jesus in you is greater and more powerful than any ruler or authority that you can think of, name, present, age, or past. 1 John 4:4, greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The fullness of God is in Jesus. And now where is Jesus? He's in me. And the point of that is, the kingdom of God is where? It's in my heart. The turf and the property that he wants is your heart. And so the kingdom principles are being lived out. Are y'all getting this? Are y'all going to sleep? Or have I got to start all over? Or are y'all... Man, that excites me to know that the Jesus of history, who is now the Christ of faith, is alive. And he is alive and he is well in us. Man, that is something to rejoice about. That's going to be on the test, by the way, since I'm feeling like a professor here this morning, all right? Here's what all that means. Jesus completes you. Your spouse doesn't complete you. If you believe that, we will have multiple counseling sessions. Your spouse will never complete you. Sounds like a defeated marriage, does it? It's not. But our arguments and our disappointments can come to thinking that they can. And they can't. They have a viable role in your life, but they don't complete you. They don't complete you. We will jockey for positions. Remember the very first sermon? I told you you would arrange your life to be with people of status because our social system. We'll let everybody know that we were connected to them. We'll name drop. We'll take pictures. I'm going to be honest with you. I've never understood an autograph in my life. I have never understood that. I'm just going to be honest with you. I'm going to be real honest with you. You could say my sermon is too long, But you'll drive 3 hours, stand in line for somebody to sign your basketball longer than you'll be here, and you'll never say a word. Never say a word. You'll burn more money there than you would ever think about giving to the church. And I can say something about investing into the kingdom, and you'll go bonkers. But you'll pay $100 for a basketball for somebody to sign. Say, look, I've got their CD. I've just never understood the autograph. I've just never understood it. And my point, do you see my point that I'm beginning to try to make in this? That doesn't complete you that person signed your apparatus or whatever. Doesn't do that. So people aren't going to do it. We'll jockey for position. We'll gain wealth because we think wealth completes us. It doesn't complete you. We'll get degrees. Academia doesn't. I was at a place the other day. I was working with a guy. He started calling me Dr. Eaton. I said, just call me Jeff, or call me for supper or something. You know, just drop it. It's okay. Did I earn them? Yeah. Do they complete me? No. Status of titles, they don't complete you. You will chase the world for things that you think will complete you, and they will never complete you, ever. You will chase things that shine to complete you, because here it is. I mean, you want completeness? Let the person who rules over everything fill your life. You want to be associated with somebody powerful, be able to do that. God has indwelled his son, and his son, we are filled with his son. So this is a place where I think we have to come and ask for confession. I really do. I think the church has got to get there, me included. I think we'll go, well, if I have a church that has a certain number of attendance, then it will complete me. It won't complete me. Won't do it. We get it to a point here, and I'm getting serious before the invitation. I've been serious, but I'm more serious now. And that is that we've got to come to a place of, you've got to forgive me of this. God, you've got to forgive me that I thought there are other things in this world that complete me. And I'm realizing today you complete me. Colossians 1:27 is this. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ, say that phrase, in you. Christ in you, the hope of glory. Colossians 1:28-29. This is my ministry personally, and this is our ministry here. And we're just going to take Paul's words and then relay it to us. We proclaim him, I will till I die, warning and teaching everyone with all wisdom, so that we may present everyone complete, mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me or us. That's our task. My task as your pastor and your preacher is to do one thing. I'm going to warn you and I'm going to teach you. There's great assurance and there's great warning in Scripture. That's usually the only division there is. Great warning, great assurance. Teaching everyone with all wisdom so that I present you. I want you to come before the Lord and live before the Lord, complete in him, every single one of you. So that we may present you complete in him. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully within me. Today, what are you living? What are you leaving with? I hope it's these things. And it goes back to our original one. I am redeemed and I am forgiven. Leave today with that. Miles, if you could put that back up. I am redeemed and forgiven. I have direct access to God. I am complete in him. Who am I? This is who I am. I now have access to the Lord, and I am complete in the Lord. Today, during the invitation, you may have to confess that other things, you think other things complete you. I don't know what you need to confess. Today during the invitation, during a time of remembrance of the Lord's Supper, I just want you to remember, we're remembering his sacrifice, and I want you to remember what that sacrifice did. That physically shedding of blood covered every one of your sins, and there became a blood transfusion to me and you. Actually, a physical one to a spiritual one that made me alive again. As you take communion today, as you do that, will you remember that he has rescued me? He has transferred me into the kingdom of the Son that he loves. He has bought me back with a price, and he has forgiven me. Just say thanks for that before you consume it. You hear, you never surrendered your life to Christ. The invitation is for you to come. Come and surrender to him today. You may want to take advantage of the access that you have in him and just come and pray. Let your heart sing. If it's thankfulness and praise, do it. If it's confession and just getting rid of the anger and the hate, and all those things that are there, the jealousy, the lust, the selfishness, the greed, then let him have it. Let him have it. Come to me, he says. Confess to me, he says. Call to me, he says. And cast to me, he says. Logan's going to lead us. You come. Church, would you stand? Counselors, would you find your spot? As Logan leads us, you